The title of my talk today is Exploring One of My Core Beliefs with the Four-Cornered Argument. This talk references Linda and Nellie's talk on Sunday about what does true nature mean? Or what does my true nature mean? Linda says that she likes to think of the word true as a hopeful possibility. In other Buddhist circles, Buddha nature is often described as the unconditioned, perfect, equanimous, receptive, non-reactive, wise, compassionate, without greed or aversion, or our true nature. In reflective meditation, we don't teach to the unconditional, Linda says. We value our experience and go to the teachings we know. If we don't know what unconditioned is, if we don't experience it, Linda and Nellie say, we can't teach to it. We can't teach to the hypothetical. Instead, we look at the conditions that bring suffering and those that bring relief. Looking back at our experience, can we tease out any of the conditions that may have contributed to either suffering or relief from suffering? Are we taking care of ourselves, eating healthy food, getting enough rest, moving our bodies, getting social support? Despite our best efforts, suffering often arises anyway. Something that brought relief before may not do it for us right now. In my case, dark chocolate, hot tea, and listening to Joni Mitchell. On the other hand, something that really irritated us in the past may not hold as much power over us in this moment. We may laugh or shrug it off or have a bit of understanding that the person who annoys us wants to be happy, wants to let go of stress, and probably doesn't have the skills to deal with their frustration. Instead of looking for certainty, we are able to hold paradoxes, like the four-cornered argument. During my meditation on Sunday, I came up with the following statement, which seems to be, for me, a core belief. All embodied beings are subject to desire and aversion, therefore, suffering is unavoidable. I tried out the four-cornered argument. One, as an embodied being, I am subject to desire and aversion, therefore, suffering is unavoidable. Two, as an embodied being, I am not subject to desire and aversion. Therefore, suffering is avoidable. Three, as an embodied being, I am both subject to desire and aversion, and I am not subject to desire and aversion. Therefore, suffering is both avoidable and not avoidable. Four, as an embodied being, I am neither subject to desire and aversion, nor not subject to desire and aversion. Therefore, suffering is neither avoidable nor unavoidable. So let's go back and I'm going to try to unpack those the best I can. First statement, as an embodied being, I am subject to desire and aversion. Therefore, suffering is unavoidable. This certainly feels true. I have experience with both desire and aversion towards people, places, objects, and ideas. And I can definitely attest to the fact that those seem to bring suffering, either having what I desire go away or not getting what I desire or having to deal with aversion. Second statement, as an embodied being, I am not subject to desire and aversion. Therefore, suffering is avoidable. This seems a bit harder. However, there have been times, like when I'm walking in nature, or I'm really engaged in an activity like playing music, when for a few minutes, I am a few moments, I am immersed in the act of singing. I'm not worried about the audience response or my performance. I'm just singing. Third statement. As an embodied being, I am both subject to desire and aversion, and I am not subject to desire and aversion. Therefore, suffering is avoidable and suffering is unavoidable. So going back to my previous one, there are times when I'm singing that I am not concerned with how the audience is perceiving me, but there are other times when I desire their attention, words of praise, when I'm judging my performance. Was that note flat? Can I reach that high note? Or I messed up a chord. When I'm in the flow and not caught up by a desire of aversion, there can be moments that I have observed a sort of gap or freedom, however briefly. Statement four is the one that I have the hardest time figuring out, and I hope that some of you have a better understanding of it. So, as an embodied being, I am neither subject to desire and aversion, nor not subject to desire and aversion. Therefore, suffering is neither avoidable or unavoidable. This one I can't really wrap my mind around. Perhaps there is an indication of freedom here. I am never completely subject to endless desire and aversion. There are gaps. Things change, conditions change, and this embodiment will end. Things aren't black and white. Sometimes suffering is absent. Sometimes it arises. In my experience through reflective meditation, there are endless possibilities. It feels more honest to embrace the mystery, the uncertainty, the phrase, not always so. Yes, I observe familiar habitual patterns in thinking and action, and other times they appear to lie dormant or are not at play. I like it when I surprise myself with a different response. Other times I say, oh, there you are, my old familiar. I invite you to examine any core belief you may hold. When is it true? When is it not true? Can it be both true and not true? Can it be neither true nor not true? We will now meditate. And in about